You know, it's unclear what effect Donald Trump's administration may have on different types of renewable energy, including solar. Here is Trump this summer during a campaign stop.
You know what? Everything has its place. Solar absolutely has its place. I think solar is going to be good as time goes by. But right now they have not perfected it. And, you know, when you have clean coal, when you have natural gas, you're talking about a fraction of the cost, a fraction of the cost. But they're putting your businesses out of business.
A new report suggests that's not exactly true. The World Economic Forum says in more than 30 countries, the cost of wind and solar has dropped to rates that are either equal or, in fact, cheaper than fossil fuels. Here to explain is Peter Dykstra. He's the publisher of Environmental Health News, and he joins us by Skype from his home in Conyers. Hi there, Pete.
Hi, happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And in the studio with me is Don Moreland. He's the chair of the Georgia Solar Energy Association. It's good to have you as well, Don.
Thank you for having me.
Can we start by fact-checking what we just heard Donald Trump say here? Because he is saying that, A, solar power is not yet up to snuff, and that coal, for example, is a fraction of the cost of solar power. Is that true?
That is not true even here in Georgia. As far as I know, there is no such thing as clean coal, and the price of solar has come down in Georgia at least 70% over the last 10 years, now making it cost competitive with coal-generated power plants.
So that's the same as the numbers that we got from this recent report. Peter, what has brought the cost down? Because I think the impression still remains, as Donald Trump alluded to, the impression is that solar panels are quite expensive.
Well, yeah, one who brands himself as a good businessman ought to know better. And the numbers that Don cited and that you cite are really, really hard to argue with. Solar, wind energy as well, are on a roll. I don't see any legislative administrative interference from the Trump administration or from Congress stopping this. They could slow it down. But I think that we're seeing the sea change in the way we produce energy that has been predicted for 30 years. This isn't an idea whose time has come. It's an idea whose time came 30 years ago, and we're just catching up.
Oddly enough, it may have began in the White House, at least, with our last Georgia president, which was Carter. Let's hear another comment from Donald Trump. And Don, I know that solar power is very important to Georgia. At the last numbers I got, and these are from Thomas Lawrence at the University of Georgia, he said there's nearly 200 solar companies in Georgia and almost $80 million of investment. Is that accurate as far as you know?
That's accurate, yes, okay. And growing.
So let's hear another comment that Donald Trump made about his concerns over wind and solar.
It's so expensive. And honestly, it's not working so good. I know a lot about solar. I love solar. But the payback is, what, 18 years? Oh, great. Let me do it, 18 years. The wind kills all your birds. All your birds killed. You know, the environmentalists never talk about that.
Okay, the wind power does not kill all the birds. He's talking rhetorically, I assume, there. Mm-hmm. But this other comment that he made, that the payback, and it takes almost 20 years for you to see a payback on solar. What do you make of that claim?
It's patently false. The paybacks for solar for residential are a little higher than for commercial. There are different tax incentives available for each application, whether it be residential or commercial. But what we're seeing out there practically every day in the field is a payback on residential will be anywhere from 10 to 12 years, and a payback for commercial will be anywhere from 4 to 6 years.
Peter, I looked up some of the paybacks. Do these paybacks require incentives from the government? In other words, that is a place where the Trump administration could have an effect, right? Some of these incentives.
Well, I think as solar and wind energy mature, you're going to see the need for any kind of a head start or a push disintegrate. It's already headed that way. Don mentioned the decrease here in Georgia. There's been a huge decrease nationally and globally as well in the cost of solar. There are almost 250,000 jobs in the solar industry in this country right now. Its momentum is undeniable, and even though there could be some impact, you don't have any acknowledgement among the cabinet nominees from President-elect Trump that climate change is a thing that needs to be addressed. Rick Perry, the energy secretary nominee, is actually a big fan of wind power because he saw it make a ton of money in Texas. There isn't that same enthusiasm for solar in the administration, despite the kind of jumbled statements you've already played back from Donald Trump. But it's coming. It's just coming, and market forces aren't going to be stopped, whether it's the growth of wind and solar or whether it's the steady decline and collapse of coal, because it is, in fact, more expensive than other forms of electricity right now.
It's funny that you put that to market forces. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Peter Dykstra. He is the publisher of Environmental Health News, and Don Moreland, who's the chair of the Georgia Solar Energy Association. Now, Don, we have had some kind of big banner projects here in Georgia. They're just opened the 250-acre solar farm at Fort Stewart, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's online?
Yes.
And then also there's they're just opening that portion of pavement that uses pavers. Can you tell me about that?
I don't know a lot about that project. I know solar roads is a new technology that's coming along, and to incorporate solar ubiquitously in buildings and roads is a trend that we're going to see more of down the road. But in terms of its practical application and its payback, those types of technologies are still a little bit farther off.
Peter, can you tell me a little bit, because you have mentioned that the paving of the road, which is not just happening in Georgia, but also the way that Turner is using it in their parking lot, for example.
Yeah, the one at the I-85 Welcome Center down in West Point as you cross the Alabama line into Georgia is just a demonstration project, but it's a sign of things to come. My old boss, Ted Turner, and this isn't new, this is 5 or 6 years old, took a parking lot, it's right next to the Ferris wheel right downtown in Atlanta, covered the parking lot with 25 large arrays of solar panels, so you can park your car in the shade in the summertime while the roof that's been built of these solar panels is generating electricity. Little things like that, demonstration projects or proven successes, are really paving the way, no pun intended, to where we're going to be 10, 20, 30 years from now.
How concerned are you, Don, though, because the solar industry has become more and more of a presence here in Georgia. But how concerned are you? Because there's been, I'm not actually sure actually where the Trump administration at this point stands on climate change, but he's been a denier of climate change in the past. Does that worry you?
Not really. For reasons Peter mentioned before, the egg has already hatched for solar in the United States and in Georgia. Georgia is the eighth fastest growing state as far as solar adoption is concerned. Any incentives that are available right now are primarily federal. There's a 30% tax credit that's available for both residential and commercial customers who want to go solar. That was just extended in 2015. It was set to expire in 2016, but it was extended another 5 years with bipartisan support in Congress, and we don't see that going away anytime soon. The rest of the industry, if incentives that apply are usually on the state level, and any policies that help solar grow are usually at the state level. So we're not real concerned about what the Trump administration can do as far as the solar energy industry is concerned here in Georgia. I think we're going to grow just like we have been. And we had a record year in 2016, and I think we're going to continue to see record years for the foreseeable future.
Peter, if the cost of solar is coming down so much, how come more homeowners don't have solar panels on their homes?
Well, looking beyond the borders of Georgia, there are some impediments or risks. The electric utility industry in some areas considers solar to be a serious risk to their business model. This is a business model that's a century old, and it probably really doesn't work anymore. Recently in Arizona, in the state of Nevada, a ballot initiative in Florida just this past election day have attempted to make it more difficult to bring rooftop solar to reality. And so at the state level, where a lot of this stuff is regulated and where utilities are regulated, That's where some of the risks are. I'm happy to hear Don say that he's not worried about the Georgia legislature throwing up roadblocks, but it certainly has been the case in others. And one other thing that's notable is that this isn't a standard cookie-cutter liberal conservative issue. There's something here in the Southeast called the Green Tea Party, which are standard environmental groups like the Sierra Club teaming up with some activists in the Tea Party who don't like the idea of electric monopolies. One of the leaders of the fight for residential solar in Arizona is Barry Goldwater Jr., the son of one of the most prominent conservatives of the American 20th century. So it's jumping a little bit outside the borders of traditional liberal conservative politics. But there are some risks at the state level in different parts of the country.
So in the minute that we have left, Don, we have a comment from one of our listeners who says, why don't we have more panels, trees, and no ability to store the energy that's produced on sunny days? What's your response to that?
Well, we love our trees here in Georgia. We always will love our trees here in Georgia. Solar is not going to work everywhere. I think it was estimated that by the Department of Energy about 50% of the properties are actually well-suited for solar.
That's a lot, though.
For various reasons, yeah. Like trees and roof angles and things like that. The truth is that the cost of energy in Georgia has been relatively low compared to the rest of the country. And as price for solar comes down, you're going to see the payback for solar increase. And then you're going to see a wider adoption across the board.
That is Don Moreland of the Georgia Solar Energy Association. We also spoke with journalist Peter Dykstra of the Environmental Health News. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.